Good morning, everyone. Time for another Bible class, and we are in document number 31. The last page of it is 310. We did move a little bit into document 32 on Wednesday, but I wanted to keep everything in context here. So we're taking a look at the doctrine of the divine decree. So let's just go through page 310 and a little bit beyond in order to keep things in context. We start off with a definition, and it goes this way. The decree of God, and I think I have a picture for this. The decree of God is his eternal, holy, wise, and sovereign purpose, comprehending simultaneously all things that ever were or will be, in their causes, conditions, successions, and relations, and determining their certain futurition. The decree of God, you will see on the board, is his eternal and immutable will, eternal and immutable, regarding the future existence of events which will happen in time and regarding the precise order and manner of their occurrence. The divine decree is the eternal plan by which God has rendered certain all the events of the universe, including both angelic and human history, and that's past, present, and future. God's decree rendered all things as certain to occur. In doing so, he did not interfere with angelic or human free will. In fact, he decreed that we would have free will. So it's always nice to know that we have free will. We'll take a look at the computer of the divine decree a little later in our study, but I did want to note the opening there, the concept of the divine decree and how it is operational at every moment in human history. This shows you on the board the computer of the divine decree, so we can take a look at it now. This is something that hopes to communicate pictorially and in a few concepts, exactly what is meant by the computer and especially God's omniscience. This is an astounding doctrine, but the scripture reveals this. There's nothing that God doesn't know, and he's not limited by time. He is eternal, and therefore he knows all that is knowable, past, present, and future, and therefore he knows all about you. He knows everything that you have ever thought, everything you've ever said, and everything you've ever done, and knows it all the way to the end of your days. He knows who you are. He knows the day that you placed your personal faith in Christ. He knows at that moment whether or not you pursued the study of the Word of God. And if you didn't do it immediately, he knows the day that you did. And therefore, you enrolled yourself in some manner or fashion, either face-to-face or electronically, to study his immutable word. He knows what you know. He knows how it got there, and he knows how you apply it if you ever get around to doing that. He knows all about you. So you're not getting away with anything, even though you're by yourself. That's an unnerving concept. But he knows who you are, and that's what omniscience is. And since he has omniscience, he knows you, and you're not getting away with anything. On the other hand, he knows what you know from his word, and your consistency in inculcating its immutability and applying it in your daily lives, therefore becoming more and more victorious in the invisible war. It is the word of God that is immutable. It is the word of God that transcends all that the dark side can possibly throw at you. And so we take a look at omniscience. God knows eternally all that is knowable. Let's take a look at the potential things. Are there things in your life that potentially could have occurred but didn't? In fact, it never crossed your mind. Things that could occur in human history but do not, and therefore are not decreed. What is decreed is what God has known in eternity past. Now, omniscience is a powerful doctrine, And you may find it difficult to understand this doctrine, but it is revealed in Scripture that God knows all that's knowable. And he's not limited by time, so remember that. You are. He knows what you're up to 3 weeks from now. He knows what you're up to right now. And he also knows the good, the bad, and the ugly. So just remember, you're someone who is being kept up with by the divine observation. And so you are on stage every moment of your life. I'm just trying to see if anybody fainted. Well, let's see what is actual. That's what goes into the computer. And so the computer has a ROM chip. That's the sovereignty of God, God's supreme authority and rule over all that he creates. He has supreme authority, and that's over angelic and human creations. And so that's the ROM chip. And everything about him is in that. We pretend that there's a computer, but there actually is a computer. That's your brain. That's where you make your decisions. That's where the soul is located. We call it the heart. But rather, it's a concept of how you can inculcate information. It makes sense to you because of language. We happen to use English, but there are other languages, and that's what's in the computer for them. How do they think? How do they make decisions? Are they an individual? Is that person an individual that is able to make good decisions from establishment viewpoint? The question arises, what's establishment? Where in the world is establishment completely different from the establishment in client nation America? What's the language? God's got all of that. In fact, language is absolutely important. The Old Testament is written in Hebrew. The New Testament is written primarily in Koine Greek. They have some classical Greek thrown in here and there. But there are two languages. And whoever wants to study Scripture has to address those two languages, no matter what their current language happens to be, wherever they live. And so the ROM chip has to do with all that God knows, and he knows a lot. Free will of man is the ROM chip. The ROM chip has to do with what you think and know. What do you know about establishment viewpoint? What do you know about Bible doctrine? Can you recall it? Are there doctrines you studied, say, 15 or 20 years ago that you've forgotten, but could be reminded if it pops up in a Bible class? So we've got that. Now there's some printouts. The absolute reality of events that do occur in human history, and you're part of that. If you're sitting here breathing right now, that means you are a part of what's in the decree, and it's being at this moment executed by you, and it's in the decree, and God knew it in eternity past. So one of the things you pull away from this doctrine is you don't get away with anything. You can lock yourself in a closet and turn the light out. It doesn't do any good. What are the printouts? Well, there are three. Foreknowledge, that means nothing can be known until it is first decreed. Okay, what is the divine decree? The divine decree is what God put in the computer in eternity past. In eternity past, he knew who you were. So foreknowledge means nothing can be known until it is first decreed. Then there's predestination. It is the provision of God's sovereignty to execute God's plan, purpose, and will for your life. You are predestined. He knows who you are. He knows how things will wind up for you. Every thought, decision, and action in your entire life is known by him by means of his omniscience. Pretty scary, isn't it? But it's true because the Bible says it's true. Then there's election. Election is the plan of God for believers only. He has a plan for your life. It's going to work out exactly as he know it will work out. And so you are in his plan, in his system, and in his computer. Now, that may be unnerving at the beginning of this discussion, but knowing that he knows you and all of the decisions you're going to make can be chilling. but not necessarily so. If you're growing in grace and organizing your thoughts, he understands you came here knowing nothing. All you were doing was screaming. And then the scream is actually turned into language, and the language began to communicate who you really were. And as an unbeliever, he knew you there. Everybody starts out that way. And then you begin to accumulate information, and that's why there's a real need for parents. In our society today, we're trying to fire all the parents. And this is a part of the zeitgeist of the moment. And it shows. But nevertheless, what parents' duties are has to do with if they're going to procreate, to understand that when the child arrives on the scene, they know nothing. And they will be a terrorist if they're not taught how to behave themselves in genteel society. But nevertheless, there we go. So in this concept of foreknowledge, predestination, and election, we have these concepts. And so election means that you are in the plan of God and you're in the computer. You were elected on the moment you said, I believe in Christ and I understand I go to heaven when I die. So these two concepts here give you an idea of the order in which you function. You function in an ordered system. God is not disordered. And you are part of that system, but you don't get your mind right and organized until A, your parents lead you to establishment viewpoints so you can behave yourself in society, or secondly, after salvation, so you can grow in grace and learn the plan of God that is inflexible and immutable. And therefore, whatever you learn from Scripture is absolutely true, because the Bible says whatever is in here is absolutely true, whether it's positive or negative. There are things that are always true, that's aletheia. There are things that are always not true, and that's aletheia. It's true that this is not true, if you follow that. It's human viewpoint. Aletheia can point out human viewpoint, things that are evil and wrong and sinful and so on. So you're in an organized system. And don't think that you can get away with anything. You can get away with almost anything in the human environment. You can hide all of your thoughts, hide all of the things you secretly possess and hide and execute. But God's known it all since eternity past. So what these doctrines are designed to do is to give you just a little bit of humility about who you are, what you think, what you say, and what you do. And it would be a good idea to understand that there's a system that is inflexible. It hovers over you. You're known by God all the way through birth to the day you die. And you ought to be encouraged by that, because there's a system available to you to acquire immutable truth and execute it in your personal life, which God honors. And so why come to church, and why grow in grace, and why learn doctrines, and why go through the misery of executing a concept or an idea when you know it's the right thing to do, but others disagree, and you stand fast with the truth? So the source of the decree is divine omniscience, which God knew simultaneously in eternity past, everything that would happen in human history, the thought, decision, and action of every person in human history, and everything in relation to all things pertaining to it. You get up in the morning and things start happening. If you decide to get up, that's one thing. Eat breakfast, bathe, get in your car, go to work, and do things there. He knew in eternity past everything that you would do on that particular day, including this one. It's in the decree that you'd show up here. It's in the decree that if you concentrate on what's being communicated, it will add to the inventory of your biblical ideas, and God honors the truth wherever it's found, including your soul. So the several contents of this one eternal purpose are, because of the limitation of our faculties, necessarily perceived by us in partial aspects and logical relations from Scripture. Only the Scripture you know is absolute. You can make things up elsewhere. And there are standards in society, that's the concepts of establishment. And in a different society, there would be other standards that would be different from these which you apply presently. But you live in this society, except for maybe a couple of years ago when things began to go south on us. We had standards that organized society. And therefore, there were things that were acceptable in society and things that were not. And many of those things were, let's just say, supervised by law or a constitution, which seems to be on the way out. I know that you are flummoxed and scratch your head and think our constitution was cobbled together with a bunch of absolutes, and that is establishment viewpoint concept. But unless you amend that document, then what's in the Constitution is immutable until amended. And now people in authority are doing things that violate the Constitution, and no one seems to want to say, you can't do that. You can't say that. You can't go there because this says you can't. But here we are in the decline of client nation America as a result of this. Same with the Word of God. The Constitution is immutable unless amended. The Word of God is immutable, period. So learning these things and concepts in your soul enable you to execute the Christian way of life, and when you do it that way, God will honor it and you're promoted in His system. So the several contents of this one eternal purpose are, because of the limitation of our faculties necessarily perceived by us in partial aspects and logical relations from Scripture, therefore we classify the decrees as being plural, but in reality it is all one decree. It's just one thing with paragraphs. You can open a book and all these paragraphs are there, but it's still one book. And in the beginning, you have concepts that are presented there, and then all of that plays out until the end shows up at the back of the book. It's all one book, but contains quite a number of concepts and ideas. Well, that's the idea that the Bible obviously possesses, and it's immutable. Thus, the divine decree is His eternal and immutable will regarding the future existence of all events which will happen in time and the precise manner and the precise order of their occurrence. Now, only this idea can do this. The definition of the divine decree. What's decreed is immutable. It can be a positive or a negative, but what's positive is always positive, and what's negative is always negative, and both are under the heading of aletheia, or emeth, if you prefer, for the Old Testament. So there are things that are in stone. Finding out what's in stone informs you about how to think. And where do you go to see this? Where do you go to introduce yourself to immutability? You do that at a church. That was founded in Acts chapter 2. And we have all these churches scattered around our country. What's going on inside them becomes the problem. The problem is there's a lot of hoo-ha that goes on in the church. We just had our hoo-ha a minute ago when we sang two hymns. Now we study the Bible. Now I always felt like it was appropriate for us to have hymns because they contain doctrine, at least in the hymn books we have. And so you get a review of some concepts and ideas from singing. And so that's part of what we do, but it's only a small part. what we do primarily is bore you with the truth. And you can take it or you can leave it. Doesn't matter to me. I'm not a policeman. But I do know that it's extremely important to consistently inculcate what is possessed by God in His Scripture and available to you through Bible study. And the more you do this, the more powerful your decision-making becomes. So thus, the divine decree is His eternal and immutable will regarding the future existence of all events which will happen in time and the precise manner and the order of their occurrence. So the decree of God is His eternal and immutable will regarding the future existence of all events which will happen in time and the precise manner and order of their occurrence. Now imagine this, you got 7.5 billion people on this planet, and He knows the thought processes, the things people are going to say and then do, no matter where they're found and what language they speak throughout the entire world, and that from the get-go. He knew what Adam had done, and all He wanted to do was get Adam to fess up to it. And same with you. So the term decree refers to the eternal plan by which God has rendered certain all the events of the universe, both angelic and human. Now, the decree is the all-inclusive will and purpose of God concerning all that ever was or will be, and which He Himself alone must have objectively designed for His own glory and for His satisfaction. The divine decree is efficacious in that it determines all that ever was, all that is, and all that ever will be. The decree is viewed by man from two standpoints. First is efficacious. Efficacious means that which is directly wrought by God from His sovereignty, and then permissive, which is appointed by God to be accomplished by secondary causes or by the free will and action of agents. That is the free will of man. You have volition and you are a free agent. And so this brings us into the concept of our part to play in the invisible war. We are in an invisible war. Now, the sun may come out today. By the way, I want to tell you that we're in for a very brutal cold spell. This is beginning right now if you're wondering why it's cold. But it's beginning right now. It actually started last year. The sun has cycles of 11 years, but that's just the general aspect of it. We're in a position now for extremely cold weather, and there's nothing unusual about this. It cycles, and it can be charted and has therefore been done so. And we're in for a tremendously long period of cold weather. And if you want to know why and how this occurs, it's because of sunspots. And so the tremendous number of sunspots systematically form. Now, you may have asked this question. I know I have. Our planet circles around and around every 24 hours. And in that process, we go around and around the sun. And we do that in about 365 days. And so there's all these things turning and swirling. The question arises, does the sun rotate? Well, I can't answer that question, but how do the sunspots appear? Well, they do systematically. And when they do appear, it gets extremely cold on planet Earth, and history asserts that and therefore reveals it if you're willing to do the research. So we're about to get cold, guys. And anyone who says we're in global warming is about to have a wake-up call. And here it is, May. Isn't this May already? The high today is like 70-something in May. Now, it is going to get hotter, there's no question, because we do still have summer. But it's going to get really cold, guys. And there's nothing unusual about that, and it's not going to be global warming. It's going to be global cooling because the sun is in charge of the temperature. Just so you know. The divine decree has numerous characteristics. They are all comprehensible, which means that not a slightest uncertainty could exist as to one of the smallest or most insignificant of events without confusion to all. The decree is organized. Now you might say, how can it be organized if human volition is free to make poor decisions from a position of weakness? Because the important thing is that we're free. God is organized and we're free. And we're free because we have free will. We have volition. And volition is a part of the system that God put in place so that the thing we call the appeal can be worked out over time. Who is running the show on planet Earth? Who presently has the authority over things that go on planet Earth? Well, obviously God does, but he also allows angelic and human free will. And beginning in Eden, we have the beginning of the appeal. We are here in order to combat Lucifer's authority and his decision making. If you want to know who's running all of this, it's Lucifer himself. God is in charge of the overall picture, but on planet Earth, Lucifer presently has the authority. And therefore, he can propagandize Homo sapiens in whatever manner he wants to attempt in order to win the argument. And client nations were developed by God so that believers, Homo sapiens, could make good decisions from biblical truths and therefore become witnesses for the prosecution. Therefore, the church in the church age. You are here because there need to be witnesses for the prosecution. And the only way you can witness for the prosecution is to be able to present God's absolute truths in your life. And if you don't know the word, then you can't be a witness for the prosecution, but rather a witness for the defense. And a lot of people attend church as witnesses for the defense. And you get more and more witnesses for the defense rather than witnesses for the prosecution. You have a downturn in a given client nation, and all have failed up to this point. So this point. Everything you think, why you think it, and the environment in which you think it was all known to God in eternity past. How about that? This says everything in life is a chain of cause and effect events. The decrees are eternal. God is not gaining in knowledge. Omniscience means God knew simultaneously everything that ever was or will be in their causes, conditions, successions, and relations. God is perfect. Therefore, his decrees are perfect. They are not perfect in content because they include sin, failure, human good, and evil. But everything that would ever happen was known to God. He is a perfect system of comprehension. So, the decree is unchangeable and it is certain. Nothing could possibly occur to necessitate a change. God is never found not knowing something. God has never had to make changes or any adjustments to his divine decree. All of this occurred in eternity past. And you have to buy that doctrine, but it is in Scripture. How could it be that God has to be taught anything? How could it be that God doesn't know what's going to happen tomorrow? He knows what you're going to do tomorrow. You don't. You don't have prophecy. He knows what you will do or say or think tomorrow. Could that be unnerving? Not necessarily so. The more doctrine you know, the better your decisions. From a position of strength, meaning biblical truth. So, the decree is the free choice of God in eternity past. This is the central and most important point in this doctrine, which every pastor and evangelist must understand. I'll read that again. These guys that have communication gifts must understand this concept. The decree is the free choice of God in eternity past. This is the central and most important point in this doctrine, which every pastor and evangelist must understand. God is not bound to follow any necessary path. Having decreed, however, he is bound by his infinite faithfulness and truth to complete what he has begun. So he is the one who created everything. Had to start somewhere, so he started with the angels. And the angels were all elect, and they are myriad, so many that they're not revealed by number in Scripture. And then there was a rebellion, and Lucifer fomented that. And you're familiar with that in Isaiah 14, 12 through 14. And therefore, he bucked the system. Why? Because he had free will. You're not enslaved, you have free will. You can make any choice you wish to make because you are a decision-making machine. How you make the choice and from what inventory you consult, that is the idea between you and executing a witness for the defense or a witness for the prosecution. And you're in the ball game. You can't get out of this. The free choice of God is very important because God, from his own sovereign volition, invented free will in two categories of creatures, angels and mankind, so that both categories can choose for or against God. And it happens and has happened since Eden. See, Adam and Esau, as far as the plan was concerned, were going to be witnesses for the prosecution. Why? Because we're in an appeal. And in the appeal, you have to have witnesses. And so Lucifer's got his fallen angels. They're going to be witnesses for the defense. Who did God have? Well, he created a couple who were perfect, had perfect life, not eternal life. They had perfect life, could still be alive today had they made good decisions. It'd just be them. But then they used their free will to violate divine standards. And having done that, they became witnesses for the defense. So more witnesses for the prosecution had to therefore be presented, and therefore procreation. But they possessed a sin nature by that time. And because they possessed a sin nature, that was passed on to their offspring. And we've studied those guys. One was a witness for the defense. Another was a witness for the prosecution. The defense murdered the one as a witness for the prosecution. Therefore, another person had to be called on the scene so that he could be a witness for the prosecution. And it goes on and on and on, and here you sit. All of that that started back then resulted in all y'all. You're here as a, well, in theory, you're a witness for the prosecution. You might not be a good witness, but nevertheless, you're a believer in Jesus Christ. You have eternal life. You have the wherewithal to grow in grace and acquire divine thought and apply it in your personal lives. But we all fail. We all commit sin. That's why there's rebound, confession alone to God alone, and you're filled with the Holy Spirit at that point. But it's a rock and roll for all of us. So we rock and roll between the two concepts. We're filled with the Holy Spirit, witnesses for the prosecution. When we sin, whatever the flavor, we're now witnesses for the defense. Where those who are witnesses for the defense are always witnesses for the defense. So that's why client nations can't survive. Yet Jesus is prophesied to come back. And you say, "Come, Lord Jesus." That is how John finished everything up. Come, Lord Jesus. And we're saying amen to that. But John said that around 96 AD, and the Lord has decided to delay his arrival. Okay. Johann was not here, but I think I'm on this point here. The decrees are eternal. Have I told you that before? Oh, we haven't heard it. Here we go. God is not gaining in knowledge. Omniscience means that God knew simultaneously everything that ever was or will be in their causes, conditions, successions, and relations. All the intricacies of a decision are known by him. In other words, you make a decision, you verbalize it even, then other people hear this and they're a part of your decision making. And it has some kind of impact on that person. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. But either way, the impact is either positive or negative. So God is perfect, therefore his decrees are perfect. They are not perfect in content because they include sin, failure, human good and evil, but everything that would ever happen was known to God, and his is a perfect system of comprehension. The decree is unchangeable and certain. Nothing could possibly occur to necessitate a change. God is never found not knowing something. God has never had to make changes or any adjustments in the divine decree. Never made any changes. You make changes, it's seemingly so, because you're free, you're a free agent, and can make changes with regard to whether you're filled with the Holy Spirit or not. But God anticipated that, so it's not new to him. So the decree is the free choice of God in eternity past. This is the central and most important point in this doctrine, which every pastor and evangelist must understand. See, that's the ringer right there. God is not bound to follow any necessary path. Having decreed, however, he is bound by his infinite faithfulness and truth to complete what he has begun. And he's going to be victorious. We know that from Scripture, but we're in the midst of the invisible war. The free choice of God is very important because God, from his own sovereign volition, invented free will. See, that's the issue there, is he allowed us to make decisions so that we're free agents. We can decide on whose team we play. Now, we join God's side. We're always on Lucifer's side when we're born witnesses for the defense. Then when you're saved, then you're witnesses for the prosecution for a few minutes. You know that you have eternal life and you go to heaven when you die. That's all the doctrine you know. And then I remember the Billy Graham Association, when they'd do a crusade, they would hand out cards, and people would be recruited to do this, hand out cards so they could write their name down so that they could then be directed and encouraged to make their volitional decision to find a church. No church names were presented, but the encouragement to go to church and begin your spiritual growth. So that's step one. Now, we know the person knows he's saved and go to heaven when he dies. That's all he gets from Billy Graham at that point. Something he said in the process may have been valuable, but all we know is they came down the aisle, then they had made their personal professional faith to the Father. Then what? Then you go to church. Why church? That is the classroom for Christianity. And if you don't go to the classroom, you're not going to grow in grace, although saved. So that's the free choice idea. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his production, having been created in Christ Jesus for good achievements, which God has prepared in advance, that has to do with divine provisions, that we should walk, that's peripateo, walk by means of them. For we are his production, having been created for good achievements which God has prepared in advance. That's divine provisions, the filling of the Holy Spirit, for example. That we should walk, How do you walk one step at a time, one doctrine at a time, one Bible class at a time? That's peripateto. Now the decree and omniscience. The decree of God is the sum total of God's plan designed in eternity past related to all events of every classification collected into one single, all-comprehensive whole through the omniscience of God. So what is the decree? Sum total of God's plan designed in eternity past relating to all events of every classification collected into one single, all-comprehensive whole through the omniscience of God. He knows all that is knowable. The omniscience of God is the key to understanding the decree. God has three categories of divine knowledge. First of all, self-knowledge. Each person of the Godhead has infinite and eternal knowledge about himself and the other two members of the Trinity. B, very important, omniscience. God knows all the knowable simultaneously about creatures, both the actual and the possible, but only the actual is programmed into the decree. There are things that do occur, okay? Go back to this point. Omniscience. God knows all that is knowable simultaneously about creatures, both actual and possible. But only the actual is programmed into the decree. Go back to this. Potential. That's what's being talked about here. Things that could occur in human history but do not and therefore are not decreed, okay? You can sit around and think quite a number of things. What if such and such happened? What if such and such was available? What if such and such was right instead of wrong? And you could go on all day with this. But they are not functional. They do not occur, and therefore they're not in the decree. God's omniscience certifies that no, that idea will not occur in human history. And so only those things that are in the system are a part of omniscience. And there are things that simply are not there. And therefore they remain potential. So that's omniscience. God knows all that's knowable simultaneously about creatures, both the actual and the possible, but only the actual is programmed into the decree. And then C, foreknowledge. It merely acknowledges what is in the decree. So foreknowledge takes a look at the future aspects of omniscience. God can look into the future and know everything about every instance in all of human history down to the last moment. And they will occur, and they're in the decree. Things that you might dream up in your own mind or be completely ignorant about yourself, they do not occur and are not in the decree. So it merely acknowledges what is in the decree, but does not make anything certain. The believer still has free will that is uncoerced. You make your own choices, and you're held responsible for them. Paragraph C, the decree and election. Election is the sovereign right of God over his creation. It is the expression of the sovereign will of God for every believer in eternity past, for fantastic blessings both in time as well as eternity. There are blessings for believers in eternity. You have blessings in time, quite obviously. This is the benefit of knowing the Word of God and applying it. God honors that. Ephesians 1:4. God the Father has elected us for himself in Christ before the creation of the world. Now, we could just put a period there, and I would say to you, Do you have any argument with that based on what we've studied so far? And this is a review from last Wednesday when about seven people were here. God the Father has elected us for himself in Christ before the creation of the world for the purpose that we keep on being set apart to God, holy and blameless in his presence. That's Ephesians 1:4. So election and predestination provide equal privilege and equal opportunity for all believers. Equal. How is this possible? Because you have free will and you're your own decision-making machine. So equal privilege of election is God's decision to make every church-age believer a royal priest forever. You're elected to the priesthood. So each of you are functional as a priest. And how are you a priest? You're a priest in the sense that you are witnesses for the prosecution. And you have to add to your inventory through Bible study. And if you don't do that, you're not a very good priest, yet priest you are. So to repeat, the equal privilege of election is God's decision to make every church-age believer a royal priest forever. The equal opportunity of election is God's provision of logistical grace support for every church-age believer. So this is the provision. God keeps you alive so you can do the function of being a priest. So there are people who have the title, I guess, in some of these religions, and Christian religions they claim, and they call the guy a priest. Well, that's leaving a lot of people out. According to what we're studying here, once you believe in Christ, you're already a priest. Now, they're guy communicators, but who are they? Well, they give them titles. Dr. Fred Jones, Priest Fred Jones, Pastor Fred Jones, and then there are other things they call them. Well, they call them several things outside the swinging doors of the church, but nevertheless, they do have a title on occasion. The equal privilege of predestination is God's decision to enter every church-age believer into union with Christ forever. So know that is who you are right now. Through the baptism of the Holy Spirit and resultant positional sanctification. So, this results in the creation of a new spiritual species. The equal opportunity of predestination is God's provision of the divine dynasphere and the church-age believer in time. Now I'm going to show you a picture. This is Ephesians 1:3. We just noted Ephesians 1:4, but they really go together. You'll see at the end of verse 3 is a comma, and then verse 1:4 is what we just noted. We're going to note this in detail, and we only have a couple of minutes left in this service today, first session. So I just want you to see this on the board. I've highlighted a few things, but Ephesians 1, verses 3 and 4, if we decided to study it, we would have to start at verse 1, then verse 2, and then verses 3 and 4. Now, what is contained in these two verses are numerous doctrines. This is Paul. And those of you who've studied this passage under the kernel know that it wasn't a Bible class. There have been verses that he's taught for days and weeks. These two here are, I can't tell you the number, but you've sat through them if you studied Ephesians, and I've sat through it if I was in Baraka, and it just goes on and on. Why is that? Because there are numerous doctrines in these two verses here. And there are a lot of things to be discussed. We're not going to do that because I just want to put these two verses up. And I want to show you what's in them. And there's a sequence of events that are extremely important for the believer. And we'll get that on deck and start breaking it up and systematizing it when we come back after our break. I want to remind you that this is a little bit out of sync, but we do have the church luncheon today, and that occurs after the second session. See you back here at 10 till the hour.